Good morning, brother. Hope everyone's having a beautiful morning. It is a little cool out there. It's good to be here and out of the world for a little while, to be with people of like minds, keeping the Sabbath. Hello to the brethren on the web hookup. Hope we'll get to see you very soon. Brethren, I was recently reading a survey on religion from Fox News, and it had taken a poll of different people across the country about religion. They gathered the data from different backgrounds of people from everywhere. They found out that 41% of people nowadays have stopped attending church for one reason or another. And then that same survey went on to ask church people if they believe that Jesus Christ was going to come back to this earth and set everything right, like the Bible said. Well, only 43% of people stated they believed that wasn't going to happen no longer. They have given up. They have everything going on in this world, they just totally have changed their minds. Well, I wanted to read more of this article, but sometimes, Brandon, you know, you got this feeling, and you know, something just ain't right. I was sitting at this table, and I was reading some articles, and I looked up from the table I was sitting at, and this lady, which I knew from my work, she was literally just staring at me across the table. And so I looked back down, and I said, uh-oh, to myself. And I looked back up and I said, hi, how are you today? And she says, I saw your paper in Beyond Magazine, which I have read before. And I said, I have a very serious question for you. And I said, okay. And she says, I have twins, a boy and a girl. They're 7 years old. I took them to church to get baptized because I think God has called them and they need to be saved. What do you think about that? She said. Well, I paused and thought about what to answer this young mother's very sincere question. She was very serious. The first thing that came to my mind, I thought, I just didn't want to dab in there and jump and go with it. I says, how old were you when you were baptized? And she said, I was 6 years old. And she says, what do you believe? And do you think I did the right thing? I just sat there, and so as I was thinking about getting ready to answer her question, and thank goodness the afternoon bell rang, and the kids were ready to go home. But she pointed at me and said, we'll talk about this again. And I says, okay. Well, brother, I was about to tell her about the faith, how I was born and raised in the church, and my church believed everything the Bible is very true, and that the universe and everything in it was made by a creator God, who is fair and just to God, the only true God, who will give all mankind a chance to repent and live his way of life. But in that very instant, I didn't get that opportunity to tell her, brethren. 1 Peter 3, come with me there. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 came to my mind very quickly. My title of my sermon today, brethren, is A Reason for the Hope That Is In Us. My title is A Reason for the Hope That Is In Us. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, I looked at different commentaries. J.W. Wallace commentary states that Peter is telling us here in this verse to not to fear people, to revere God, meaning to fear him. He goes on to state, we are to always be ready to make a reasonable defense for our faith. a defense that is more convincing when supported with personal reasons and scriptures to back them up. Brethren, we are to do all of this very gently, out of the fear and respect to God. But we might ask, why are we Christians? Should I be calling myself a Christian? Should anyone be a Christian? Wallace's commentary goes on. He says, in my view, considering the evidence, I find it more reasonable to believe that Christianity is very true. And it is a truth that I believe is worth defending. Let us always be ready, end quote. Now, brethren, we all know there's people out there in this world today that have never even heard about the kingdom of God or even Jesus Christ. But brethren, have we thought about what are we doing with the opportunity that God has given to us, each one of us? What are we going to do with that? And I know we've heard the next questions over and over again our time in the church. Number one is, why are we here today? Why are we here today? And are we here to be with family? Because they brought or came with us? Or did we come to be with friends? Number three, would you be missed if you weren't here? What is the reason that you're here today? And do we understand why we are here? Number six, do we have a reason for being here? And do we want to be here? Feel like it's our duty to be here on the Sabbath day and the holy days to serve God. Number seven, do we realize what we've been called to be part of? Do we realize the incredible opportunity that God is offering to each one of us? Like I said, some people out there have never been asked these questions. And they just go to a church service each week or when they feel like it. But what are we doing with this opportunity? And what are we doing and what will we do with that opportunity? During the time that many have been in the church of God, there has been many people have come and gone. There have been young people that have grown up in the church. Some stay and get baptized. Others have moved on away from the church and their families too. But some new people come, and when they first come, they're so excited. They want to learn everything they can learn about everything that we believe in, brethren. That's fantastic. And they keep coming and learning. That's great. But, brethren, we could ask, why this happened? Why does this happen? Well, they have taken a lot of surveys and asked the reasons the people leave is because they never asked themselves these questions. And have they proved it from their Bible to themselves? So today, let's talk about some reasons. Why are we here? And do we realize what is God is offering to us right now? Let's look at three reasons why we're here today. And we'll look up the scriptures to back up these reasons. Many surveys, like I said, have shown that one of the main reasons that some people leave their church and their religion after some time is they are never given a biblical reason why they are to believe what they believe. In other words, the churches out there are not showing them and teaching them sound biblical doctrines. Or they are not able to understand it or to live by it. They can't show others by the scriptures why they believe the way they do. Well, brethren, it's all right here. It's all right here in this Bible. The answer is this. That is why we must be able to prove from the Scriptures why we believe, what we believe, and the way we live that way. Even if it is so different from the rest of this country and this world today, the Bible. The Bible explains why we're here, brethren. The question is, do we believe the Bible? Will we buy into it? Or will we leave it all behind and turn our backs on God if something happens? Three biblical reasons that we are here today. We need to prove and believe what we see in the Scriptures and live by them every day, brethren. Let's look at our first reason. Very simple. We're here because God called each one of us for a special purpose. We're here because God called each one of us for a special purpose. We're not called by accident. Even if we are the children of God, members of the church of God, we are here for a reason, brethren. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's read verse 26 here. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth here. This was a big city at that time on a major trade route. So it had a lot of business travelers and visitors that were buying and selling goods. The church was a Gentile church, and the Apostle Paul wrote this to them in a letter. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul is asking them if they can see their calling here. And why were they called at that time? But what does that word calling mean to each one of us, brother? What does the word calling mean to us? Let's define the BibleDictionary.com, and it states, in the Bible, the word call is used most often to refer to God's plan to bring people to himself and Jesus Christ, and to partake in his work, the plan, and the purpose of God, bringing the gospel message to this world. That is such a truthful and very easy understanding explanation, brethren. Yet so many churches and people don't understand. They twist it to say what they want it to say. And then they recruit people to do what they want them to, what they want it to say. That's not God's way, brother. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring into nothing the things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and holiness and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's read on now. Paul explains a little farther here. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Paul is talking about the mystery of the coming kingdom of God here, brethren. It's not a mystery to us, is it? The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's talking about a fantastic time, brethren, the coming kingdom of God. Verse 10, But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Brother, the calling is the capacity to understand the purpose of God and what He is working out on this earth in His time, brother. We've heard this all the time. We hear it at church. We hear it at Bible studies. We hear it on the broadcast. We read it through our literature every week, brother. Let's read verse 11 and 12 now. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. Brother, look around this world today. I think how much longer can things go on the way they're going today, brother? Because, brethren, this world is going down the tubes as fast as possible. We have reached a turning point in history that we can't go back on, brethren. It's going to be a surprise to a lot of people out in this world what's going to happen. It's not going to be a surprise to each one of you, brethren, because God's given that to you. In today's world, we have the threats of a nuclear war from so many countries that want to bomb one or many other countries with their nuclear bombs. They don't care no more, brethren. They don't care no more. Let's look at our calling again from John 6 a little more here. Come with me to John 6. Most people in this world out there don't understand what's being said here, brethren. John 6, verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." In other words, brethren, you got to be called. You got to be called, brethren. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up in the last days. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Verse 16. "Not that anyone has seen the Father except he is from the God. He has seen the Father, seeks me." He said, "Here I am. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name." Think back in your life now, brethren. What were you doing when God started calling you? What were you doing? When did God begin to call you out of this world? And you began reading and searching your Bibles for answers. Maybe you were very encouraged or very challenged by others to start looking for the truth, brethren. Why have you been called, brethren? Why did God call you? Well, brethren, you've called for a purpose, each one of you that is here. What if we were to look for a New Testament example of a young man that was called by God in a different kind of way? He thought that he was already doing God's work, but he thought wrong, brethren. Come with me to Acts 9. Come with me to Acts 9. Acts 9. We'll read about a young man named Saul here and how he was called by God, corrected, and stricken at the same time. Acts 9, let's read verse 1 through 9. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether a man or a woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." In other words, brethren, he was on the road to find and bring a bunch of Christians and take them to Jerusalem to be killed. Verse 3, "So he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Lord, why are you here?' And then the Lord says, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the thorns. Verse 6. So he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless and heard a voice, but seeing no one. Verse 8 and 9, then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drunk. Brother, he had a bright light shining in his face. He went blind. He heard a voice asking why was he persecuting him. And then he was told to go into the city, what to do next. And he had to have the man with him, lead him by the hand, because, brethren, he was blind, and he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. He was set very quickly here by God, brethren. Let's continue with the story here in verse 10 through 14. God spoke to Ananias, who had a part in Saul's calling. And he was a little reluctant about hearing about Saul's persecution and rounding up of Christians to be killed. But in verse 15 of Acts 9, God spoke to Ananias and was given instructions to go and help this newly called vessel. Acts 9, verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Here in verse 15 shows us that God chose Saul. He chose him and was now going to use him to speak about the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, and their plan and their kingdom to come. The exact same thing that Saul had been killing Christians for, brother. Brother, God chooses and calls us for a reason. He has given each one of us an opportunity that he hasn't given the rest of this world, brother. He's given it to you. Verse 16 and 17, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your spirit, your sight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. Let's look at the disciples here real quick, brethren. What they did. Matthew 13. Come with me there. Matthew 13. Let's see what Jesus Christ tells his disciples when one of them asked him a question about why he always speaks in parables to the people. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak them in parables? Well, brethren, people thought that Jesus was just telling stories. He was just telling stories all the time, they said. But disciples were to understand they were called to rule with Jesus Christ on this earth in the very near future. Let's read verse 11 through 13 now. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, brethren, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Brethren, each one of you have been called to rule with Jesus Christ on this earth. To change the world, that's why you've been called, brethren, to change the world. Verse 12, whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have abundancy. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Brother, each one of us have more opportunities here in this country than most other human beings around this world don't even know about. Some countries are losing a generation of young people right now. They can't afford school. They can't afford clothing. They can't afford food. And they've given up. We're so blessed in this country, and we don't even realize it. Jesus said that he spoke in parables because it was given to the disciples and us today, brethren, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And we need to know what we're blessed to be able to understand God's words and our calling, each one of us. What a blessing. There's so many people out there, like I said, they don't understand what an opportunity you've been given, brethren, to learn, to grow, so you can teach them in the world tomorrow. Matthew 13, verse 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. This is you. Blessed are your eyes, they shall see. And your ears, for they hear. Verse 17, for surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and do not see it, and do hear what you hear, and do not hear it, brethren. It's not hard, brethren. It's not hard for us to understand the kingdom of God. And throughout the ages, many have not been able to see and understand these things, brethren. But you have. God has opened that up to you. Well, brethren, when Daniel was given visions and writings from the book of Daniel, God told him to seal up the book. It wasn't for him to know what it meant at that time, brethren. But you know. God's shown you that. God definitely has a purpose and a plan for all of us. There is a plan and purpose being worked out on this earth right now. And even though it's not been understood by billions of people, brethren, it is being understood by a small handful of people who are called and given a work to do, brethren. You, brethren. What is that plan, brethren? What is that plan? Let's look at it very briefly. Isaiah 2. Come with me, Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2 through 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mouth of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. The whole world will look to Jerusalem, where God's kingdom and church will be established, brethren. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Brethren, people will be asking, teach us. Teach us and show us what we're supposed to be doing and not doing. And we can live very peaceful in the world tomorrow. You'll be helping do that, brethren. Verse 4, he will judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Brother, won't that be a great time on this earth? Think about it. Won't that be a fantastic time on this earth? Everyone will want to learn about God's way of life, his Sabbath days, his holy days, his commandments, and there will be no more lawbreakers and wars, brethren. Let's look at number two, brethren, our second reason. So simple. We are to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. We are to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to miss out on the opportunity to be part of it, brethren. That's why we're told to be ready. God calls us because he loves us. He wants us to get ready now and prepare to serve and become part of his family. These prophecies are in this book, brethren, so we can be ready and not be surprised, and we can read what's ahead. People out in this world don't know that, brethren. They don't know nothing about that. Like I said, you do. John 14. Come with me there. John 14. John 14. Here, Jesus makes a statement here that the world twists and says to us what they want it to mean. Let's read it and understand it for what God wants it to say here. Here in these scriptures, Jesus was talking to his disciples the night before he was crucified, which we read a lot during the Passover service. John 14, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2, "In my house, my Father's house, are many mansions." He's saying many rooms, brethren, chambers. The temple had many rooms, brethren. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Many people believe he is preparing a place for you in heaven, brethren. That's not what he's talking about here at all, brethren. Not at all. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." It's not going to be heaven, brethren. It's not going to be heaven. Many people read this and believe that it is about heaven. But we know it's not talking about heaven, and we can prove it, brethren. Let's come with me to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. This chapter explains what day and where Jesus Christ is returning and what we will be doing. Zechariah 14, verse 1 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst." Drop down to verse 4 now. "And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split in two, and from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the south, and half of it toward the move toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Verse 5. "Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall be reached to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, and you shall flee from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints will be with you." Brother, this is talking right here. Right here, this is talking about the people that are called into his church and his way of life. The saints will be with him. That's us, brother. That's us. Verse 9. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name only." That's not hard for people to understand. Yet this world is blind by the current ruler of this world, brethren, Satan. And they cannot understand the writings in this book until their scales are removed from their eyes and their minds are opened up, brethren, and allowed to understand. But you've been given that opportunity, brother. Well, brother, as we get older and we look in that mirror and our physical bodies begin to ache and hurt more, trust me, it does. When I tell you that as we get older, we think about eternal life, brother, and how great it will be to earn that as a reward for being faithful and living a Christian life now. This is the reward we've been promised, brethren, and the mission of this church today, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to all the world, and then the end will come, brethren. Our physical job and mission and our spiritual mission is to prepare ourselves, no one else, ourselves, for the coming kingdom of God. And our rewards and titles be ready for us. The question is, do we believe it, brother? Do we believe that? And do we want to be part of it? Well, brother, we should pray every day and tell God that we want to be in His kingdom and why we want to be in His kingdom, to help and to teach others and help all the human beings who have ever lived and died to be qualified to be part of God's kingdom and family, brother. We are told to be ready at any time. We can't miss out on an opportunity to be in this kingdom. Let's look at one more scripture about watching and not missing out on the kingdom. Luke 21. Come with me there. Luke 21, let's read verse 34 through 36, and I'll read this from the New Living Translation. Luke 21, verse 34 through 36. It says, "Watch out. Don't let your heart be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times," it says, "and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man." Brethren, these things will come to pass. They will. So we can pray that we can be counted worthy to escape what's coming. We can't treat it lightly, brother. We can't treat it lightly. And we need to keep focus and talking to God every day about this, why we want to be there. God doesn't want us to miss out. And we should be reading a lot of the prophecies about what's about to happen in this life. Let's look at our third reason, final reason. We have to prepare for our roles and responsibilities in the coming kingdom of God, brother. We have to prepare for our roles and responsibilities in the coming kingdom of God. By coming out of this world, brother, coming out of this world and focusing in what our roles will be in the kingdom. We are to be coming out of the world now, not be taking part in the sins and the trials. You're here to prepare for that, brother. Each one of you are here to prepare for that. You know what's coming, and you can get ready for that. Brother, we know this is Satan's world, and a lot of the entertainment and the education is not a good example for Christians at all today, brother. It's sick out there. It's hard to work out in this world today and keep focused on God's way of life and how we are to be protected from these things and not let it influence, brother. We need to keep telling ourselves, brother, every one of us, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be in the kingdom of God. I want to be there helping God teach people. We need to do this, brother. We need to make whatever changes we need to be part of God's kingdom so that He can give us eternal life. He has to know what's in our hearts, brother, and in minds, because He's going to give us eternal life, brother. We need to stay focused on that. What's ahead of us, each one of us? We have the opportunity to change the world. We have the opportunity to change the world and help change the minds and the lives of human beings in this world, brethren. That will be your role and responsibility to help there. Thinking back, brethren, if I had told that other driver at my job that we don't believe in children getting baptized, or water sprinkled on their head because it's a pagan practice and it's not in the Bible, who knows what she would have did to me, her attitude toward me, or whatever. But one day, brethren, her mind will be changed, and maybe we can help her in the world tomorrow. Do that, brother. So I was relieved I had to leave, but it's still coming to me. I have to tell her that. Let's look at the book of Ezra. Come on, the book of Ezra, an Old Testament prophet who was called to do a job, and he got busy doing that job and falling through with it. Well, brethren, we can do the same thing. we can do the same thing. Ezra 7, verse 6 and 10, right after 2 Chronicles. Ezra 7, verse 6 and 10. Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a scribe, skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord of God had given him. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Verse 10, drop down to verse 10 now, Brian. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, brethren. He wrote the law numerous times. He was preparing for the job that he knew was coming. He had already prepared in his heart to do that, brethren. He wanted to help in that area. God gave him that opportunity. Brethren, each one of us will teach the world about the laws of God and how they apply to everyone's everyday life. And it will be exciting to do that, brother. You should be excited to be able to do that. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, Jesus Christ raised up a church and called people out of this world, and he taught them. That's why you're here, brother. God wants to use each one of you in the world tomorrow to do that, brother. In Matthew 6, verse 33, we're told to seek the kingdom first and pray to God and watch every day. We can pray for more believers and laborers to help God's end-time church do that work, brother. And we can spread the gospel message to this whole world. You, brethren, that's why you are called. We really need to understand why we're here and what are we to become and do in the future. And it will be here before you know it. We've been called to help spread the gospel message and change this world. We all have an awesome, awesome opportunity ahead of us, brethren, to help change the sickness of this world. Thy kingdom come, and may it come quick.